Thanks for joining us today. At City Life, we have one purpose, making it easy for people to say yes to Jesus. We believe today's message will empower you to do exactly that. But remember that church is so much more than a sermon you listen to. It's a living, breathing community that we invite you to be a part of. We hope to see you on a Sunday morning at City Life.
All right, you guys, are you excited? This is how this is going to work. Each person gets 8 minutes to shock and awe your life. And this is always a lot of fun. You're going to get some great points here today, but we have three people. My daughter, Samara, not my daughter, Jordan, and Christine.
Good morning, everybody. I'm really excited to be here. I would just like to take a moment and thank my parents and our pastors for giving us the opportunity to speak and for, just leading an incredible way for us to follow. Very thankful for that. I'm just going to jump into it. This morning, we're talking about emotions, which is very exciting. We're on our Reflect Made to Be a Mirror series. We started it last week. And when I found out that we're talking about emotions this morning, I was really excited because I'm an emotions person. I tend to feel things quickly and very intensely. So if there's anyone who understands what it feels like to be controlled by your emotions, I'm your girl. And so when the opportunity came to speak about our emotions and how we take negative emotions and then we turn them into redemptive purpose that changes our world, I immediately was like, okay, I need to pray about this. And then there were two words that came up. The first word was the word passion, and the second word was the word complacency. And if I'm being honest, I had to quickly Google what complacency meant because I wasn't sure if I understood. And when I Googled it, I was extremely attacked because I realized that I had become complacent in life. And so according to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, this is what complacency means. It's a self-satisfaction, especially when accompanied by unawareness of actual dangers or deficiencies. So we become so satisfied with life that we become unaware of what's going on around us. And I think a part of me had figured that because I just finished 3 years of Bible college, I was going to be full of passion, full of life, ready to take on what was coming. But I actually, looking back, find myself settling into a pattern of complacency because I became so content with what was going on around me. I became unaware, and I stopped asking the Holy Spirit to fill me afresh. I settled for mediocre devotions, and I wasn't seeking God in a deeper way. And so the definition for the word passion is ardent affection, known as love, or a strong liking or desire for or devotion to some activity, object, or concept. If I'm being honest, the last couple weeks have been a very discouraging and difficult week for me. It's been that I don't feel like getting out of bed, I don't feel like praying, and I don't feel like spending time with God. It's been that kind of week. And very quickly, I found myself discouraged with a lack of passion for life. And quite frankly, I didn't have any desire to spend any time with God. I just wanted to get through the day so that I could go back to bed. Does anybody ever feel that way? Because that's how I felt. And I was like thinking, and I was like, that's so pathetic. So my initial question to ask us is, what dangers might we be unaware of in our own life that are robbing us of desire and devotion to God and his kingdom? What dangers might we be unaware of in our own life that are robbing us of desire and devotion to God and his kingdom? Complacency tells us that we're fine where we're at, and it never strives for a greater purpose than itself. My first point is that complacency will always convince us to settle for less than God's very best. We were created in the image of God. We were created to reflect him. That's what this series is about. And we are at our very best as humans when we reflect God. God is referred to as a zealous and a passionate king, and we are called to reflect that same zeal and passion. This communicates the unfathomable love that God has for us. And my feelings aren't meant to express me. It's not to express what's going on in my heart, what's going on in my mind. When I feel lazy, when I feel comfortable, when I don't feel like striving for anything greater, I'm not meant to communicate that. I'm meant to express the love of God to people. So I need to align my emotions. I need to align my feelings to the character of God so that I can reflect him to this world. To live without zeal and passion is only an expression of me and what I want. Living this way causes me to miss God-given opportunity that God has waiting for me. So my first point was that complacency always convinces us to settle for less than God's best. And my second point is when we choose passion over complacency, we become who God has always intended us to be. In Philippians 3, verse 12 to 16, it says, I admit that I haven't yet acquired the absolute fullest that I am pursuing, but I run with passion into his abundance so that I may reach the purpose that Jesus Christ has called me to fulfill and wants me to discover. I don't depend on my own strength to accomplish this. However, I do have one compelling focus. I forget all of the past as I fasten my heart to the future instead. I run straight for the divine invitation of reaching the heavenly goal and gaining the victory prize through the anointing of Jesus. So let all who are fully mature have this same passion. And if anyone is not yet gripped by these desires, God will reveal it to them. And let us all advance together to reach this victory prize with one path and one passion. How do we do this? We draw strength from the Holy Spirit. We draw strength from the Holy Spirit by arming ourselves in prayer, by guarding our hearts from bitterness and offense, and by using the Bible, which is the word of God, as a sword when lies come spewing at us. It means that we get down on our knees and we pray passionately and boldly for God's kingdom to rule over the circumstances of this world. We are fighting a war, whether you are aware of it or not. In Ephesians 6, it talks about, the Bible says there are dark, powerful forces that hold this world in bondage. Complacency doesn't even bother to fight the war. Complacency is comfortable where it's at. It's unaware of what's going on around it. And it's just sitting back, chilling, relaxing in its own social unawareness. When I say social unawareness, I mean the kind of unawareness where we just get fixed on what's happening in our own day, that we don't even bother to look at the people around us. We just get focused on tasks, making sure that we keep our schedule clean so we don't get too overwhelmed, that we forget that there's people around us, that God wants to use us. That is what complacency does to us. But passion is aware, and passion fights back against dark powers, and it speaks love, it speaks joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. It speaks faith and gentleness into the darkness of this world. Passion sparks courage. Passion prays the bold prayers. Passion speaks the word of God as the final be-all and end-all over the war that we are fighting. And passion awakens us to the brokenness of this world. It teaches us to fight for God's most prized creation. His most prized creation, which is humanity. God wants to ignite something within each and every single one of us. And he is lighting something up in each and every one of us. But it's up to us if we allow to pour gasoline on the flame or just to let it be a small little spark. God wants to ignite a passion for others, a passion for his church, a passion to serve, a passion to know him intimately, a passion for dreams, a passion for your future, a passion for your family and for your kids. He wants to ignite passion for worship and for creative ability and for learning and for your workplace. And he wants to ignite a passion to bring his kingdom onto this earth. He wants to bring passion into every single area of our lives, just not just the small pieces, not just the big parts. Because we weren't made to walk through this life numb to everything around us, just trying to make it day to day, just living for the weekend. Oh, I can't wait for my next summer vacation. Can't wait to go to Mexico. He created us to have passion for our everyday activities. God is in the business of restoring our hearts. We will learn what it means for our hearts to be whole again. We will learn what it means to be completely consumed with passion. But if we aren't choosing, if we aren't asking, and if we aren't aligning our hearts with all that God has for us and choosing passion over complacency, then we're going to miss purpose. We're going to fall into the trap of complacency, and we're going to fall into the trap of just trying to make it day to day, and we're going to miss opportunity to bring the kingdom forth. So that's all I have to say.
We have been talking about emotions, and I have a story for you guys. I want to bring you back to the summer of 2012. Where my lovely bride and I had just got married. And we had been married maybe about a week or two, and we were getting ready to go into bed, and she was getting bored, and she wanted to have a fight. So she starts going off on me, just verbally assaulting me, just going to town, and she's winning, because she's a woman, and I don't know what to say. I don't know how to think. She's just going to town on me. She's got a PowerPoint presentation, and she's got flashcards. She is killing me. And I'm getting more and more angry. My emotions are just going up to here. So I do the only logical thing that a guy in my position can do. I reach down under the covers. I grab my socks. Yes, I was wearing socks in bed. I grab my socks and right across the room. Because that seemed logical to me. Like, I'm going to let her know I'm angry. I'm going to throw my socks across the room. It didn't work. Actually, it did work. It ended up stopping the fight because we both laughed and how stupid I was. But, you know, I often struggle with wearing my emotions right here on my sleeves. And I can bet I'm probably not the only one in the entire room who does that. My emotional outbursts lacked any efficiency to solve the conflict, other than make us both laugh. Our emotions are meant to be a gauge, not a guide, a gauge of where our heart's at. Jesus said in Matthew 12:34, for whatever is in your heart determines what you say. Having emotions are not evil, even negative ones, but it's how we handle them that's key. So I want to give you guys a couple more stories of one of my favorite people in the Bible. His name is Peter. And this guy, I'm sure some of you know who he is, as Apostle Peter. He was a big church planter, church starter. He was a healer. He was amazing. But before he was all of that, he was just Simon Peter. Just a guy who was an emotional train wreck like myself. He was so funny because he let his emotions get the better of him over and over and over again. He was impulsive. He was insecure. He was strong-willed. And so this one time, the disciples were in a boat. They're crossing the lake. They went to go meet up with Jesus. And during this trip, there was a storm that happened. Thunder, lightning, waves. This boat is rocking back and forth. They're about to sink. In my emotional state, I would have been so freaked out. I would have dove down and, you know, just let me die. But Peter, he's freaking out. And all of a sudden, to make things worse, in the distance, there's a little figure of a little shiny ghost that comes walking across the water. And so Peter, instead of freaking out and be like, what is that? He's like, hey, can you ask me to, like, walk to you on the water, please? Who would think of doing that? So that's Peter. Is it emotional? He acts out. So I want to ask you, when has fear caused you to act irrationally? Because that was pretty irrational. Number two, the disciples were in this garden. This was right before Jesus was about to get arrested. It was a dark night. The soldiers were coming. The high priests were coming. The servants of the high priests were coming. They're all coming to arrest Jesus. And can you imagine how fearful that would have been? Your master was about to get arrested. You know what they do when they arrest. So anyways, Peter, he reaches down and he grabs a sword and, not today, and chops off this guy's ear. So in our fear, we've done crazy things. I don't think we've all chopped off ears or anything, but this is a guy before the Holy Spirit, okay? I just want to give you guys a little point of where we are at in crazy things. Why do I keep saying stuff like this? Why do I keep thinking these? Why do I keep acting all like this? The truth is, on our own, we are incapable of managing our emotions. We can't manage them. Our emotions are like our minds, our bodies are influenced greatly by the fall of mankind into sin. Our bodies, our emotions, our thoughts have become tainted. It's not hopeless, though. It's not hopeless. There's hope for all of us. And there was hope for Peter. In Acts, how much time do I got? Oh, I'm good. There's hope. The answer lies in submitting ourselves to the power of the Holy Spirit. In the book of Acts, Jesus had just left, and he told his disciples, go to this room and wait. Wait for the Holy Spirit, because I'm going to send him to you. You're going to have power, and it's going to be awesome. So they're waiting around, and all of a sudden, boom, the Holy Spirit came down, and they all started speaking in a different language. That was the sign that the Holy Spirit was upon them. And while they're up there doing that, all the people in the city are hearing this strange sound. They're like, what is that noise? And they start making fun of these people. They're like, are they drunk? They start making fun of them. Peter, as we would have known in the past, would have came down and just emotionally went tirade on them. We're not drunk. This is the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised. You know, he didn't do that. He came down. And he's like, guys, we're not drunk. It's only 9 in the morning. Like, let's save this for later, maybe 9 p.m. or whatever. But he came down, and instead of blasting them, the Holy Spirit in him controlled his emotions, and he was able to preach the gospel to them, and 3,000 people got saved that day. What would have happened if he would have given it into his emotions and lashed out at them? Number two, Peter was walking by a crippled beggar, and he healed him through the power of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And the crowd came to rush at Peter, and they're like, oh my gosh, you're a god. Can we worship you? You know, like, you healed this guy. And again, we know that Peter had problems in the past with pride. But this time he's like, no, I didn't do that. That was Jesus. So again, his emotions were under control of the Holy Spirit. These are just a couple examples. So I know you're like, okay, well, that's great. That was Peter. That was the old Peter. This is the new Peter. What does that mean for me? Again, Peter is so good. He has two books in the Bible, and he tells us how to get there. Number one, how do we get our emotions under control through the power of the Holy Spirit? Number one, we are to keep our minds fixed on Jesus. 1 Peter 1:13, so think clearly and exercise self-control. Look forward to the special blessings that will come to you in the return of Christ Jesus. We need to be focused on being an attractive mirror. Sometimes we're the only Jesus that people will see. In order to do this, we must exercise self-control of our emotions, having our hearts ready to act. When our broken world needs us, where do our emotions lead us? We want them to show people Jesus. Number two. Oh, I'm good. We are to be disciplined. 1 Peter 5:8. Most importantly, be disciplined and stay on guard. The enemy is roaring around like a lion, just waiting and hoping for the chance to devour somebody. Frequently, the enemy will tap into our weak areas. We will find our emotions surging in the wrong direction. When this happens, remember, your emotions are not gauges. Your emotions are gauges, not guides. Don't follow them. Be disciplined to know the difference. Let your emotions tell you where the attack is coming from. And number three, we apply these principles. Again, in 2 Peter, this is what he tells us. Make every effort to apply the benefits of these promises to your life. Then your faith will produce a life of moral excellence. A life of moral excellence will produce a life of knowing God better. Knowing God leads to self-control. Self-control leads to patience and endurance, and patient endurance leads to godliness. Godliness leads to love for other Christians, and love for other Christians leads to love for everyone else. Peter tells us that by applying these truths we have learned, we'll transform our minds, our emotions, our actions toward others. This is our goal, to have our emotions under control so that we can be a proper mirror to the world. Peter's overall tone in his writings is one of submission, and that is what he made his emotions do. He made them submit, and that's what I challenge all of us to do.
All right. Well, we're talking about emotions today, and emotions, they can be something that rules over us, just as Jordan had said. You know, I love the Bible, and when I read the Word says that God will be my strength, and there are times that I question, God, if you were to be my strength, why is it that I feel so weak? The Scriptures declare that God is our defender and that no weapon formed against us will prosper. And if that is true, sometimes they say, damn it, God, why do I feel so weak? You know, the Scriptures say that I am more than a conqueror through him who loves me. But then why are there times that I'm like, God, where is your love? God's promises are good. And for those of us who consider ourselves to be followers of Jesus, we know that his promises are not just for what he wants to do for us, but it's more so what he wants to do in and through us. And what's interesting is that among his promises, we can still feel so small. We can feel so inadequate. We can feel so unworthy. We can feel lonely. We can feel desperate. We can feel angry. We can even feel anxious and depressed. I believe it is fair to ask the question, God, if you are so good, why do I feel so bad today? You know, when I read God's word, I make the mistake that if his burden is light and if his yoke is easy, then that must mean the journey is going to be easy. When I think of easy, I think of flat, straight roads. Like, I mean, Edmonton to Calgary, it doesn't get any straighter or flatter than that. That is an easy drive. But traffic circles in rush hour, those things are damn right scary. I mean, I am a grown woman, nearly 39 years old, and I can still get stressed out about traffic circles. And you know what emotions are? Emotions are a lot like traffic circles, aren't they? Emotions, like, it's like I can just feel myself going round and round and round. In Deuteronomy 2:3, Moses said, you have circled this mountain long enough. Now turn north. You know, God wants us to head north. North is where his ways and his thoughts are not our ways nor our thoughts. Just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are his ways and his thoughts higher than ours. God wants us to turn north. You know, this sounds wonderful. I would say it even sounds noble. It sounds good, this idea of turning north. But what about the times when we face serious negative circumstances? Like, what about the times when you have struggles? What about the times when you're fighting in your marriage? What about the times when you're completely unappreciated by the boss? Maybe you're feeling disrespected. What about the times that you're feeling left out? Maybe you've lost a friendship. Perhaps you've gone through divorce. Isn't it true that when we face these negative experiences, the natural result is to feel negative? You know, these negative emotions, they are a part of our reality, and they are important to acknowledge, but they are not our truth. This is one of the scariest ideas in our culture, though this is what we're being told. We are told to be true to our feelings, that to be authentic to ourselves is to follow our feelings. I am telling you, your feelings, people may tell you that your feelings define who you are, but what? Then we listen to them? Then we lean into them, then we follow our feelings. Fundamentally, this whole idea of following our feelings is completely flawed. Don't follow your feelings. question your feelings. Don't follow your heart. Question your heart. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is hopelessly dark and deceitful, a puzzle that no one can figure out." When we face negative events, our initial negative emotion, to be real, it's actually natural and it's okay. But there is a next step with this negative emotion. What we need is we need to question this negative emotion as to say, what exactly am I feeling right now? When we can acknowledge our feelings, we then have two choices. The first choice is to do absolutely nothing at all. And let's think about this. People think, well, I do nothing. It's nothing. Well, no, nothing is something. Be assured that doing nothing is just as much of a choice as what doing something is. Do nothing and you get the inevitable result. Round and round and round and round that traffic circle you will go. Let's say as an example, you're out for a job interview. You don't get the job. Even though it was down to two people, you lost out. If you're stuck in that negative emotion traffic circle, you're going to feel like you failed. You're going to feel that you're not enough. You are going to feel unworthy. Round and round you go. But interestingly, there is an alternate choice. The alternate choice is that you can allow the negative emotion to be a prompter to pray with praise the promises of God. So one more time, let the negative emotion be your prompter to pray with praise the promise of God. This is how we exit the traffic circle and we turn north. This is where we get an intentional outcome, not the inevitable, but an intentional outcome where our emotions just don't express who we are, but rather they become expression of God and his heart and his love and his purpose for you and for others. And so when you face that similar situation where you're at a job interview, it's down to two people. I mean, you're sure you're getting it, but you don't get it. It goes to the other person. You can very intentionally respond with God. It's okay. I know that your plans for me are for good. God, I know that you have a purpose for me. And just because I did not get this job does not mean it's over. God, I fully entrust that you have a greater plan and a greater purpose that is coming through me very soon. And let's consider, how freeing is it to have this intentional response than the inevitable one? You know, yesterday, this was just right after lunch. We go for lunch, we take my daughter to the airport, and sure enough, she calls me an hour after she's at the airport because she's gone for 2 weeks. She's like, "Mom, I forgot my retainer in the napkin." And I'm like, "Dear Lord, child, you know the number one rule with a retainer is do not put that retainer in a napkin." And guess where it is? It's in the garbage. I go to the restaurant, I'm digging through the garbage. I mean the grossest garbage, and I'm praying with praise. The promises of God. God, you're with me. God, help me. I'm digging through. God, you're illuminating this retainer for me. I am going to find this. And after about 15 minutes, I'm like, "God, help me. I need to find this retainer." And we didn't find it. Sometimes we pray and our prayers don't get answered, but guess what? The immediate response to my daughter is I called her, and I said, "You know what, girl? It's gone, but that's okay. We'll take care of it when you get home. I want you to go and have a great time. Don't you worry about it." My inner negative voice was like, "That stupid kid, she should know better. Why did she put her retainer in the napkin?" Guys, we do not want to give the enemy ground to our negative emotions. You speak out what you're feeling, and I'm telling you, you can fill other people with so much fear and anxiety, so much like distance and separation, building walls in relationship. We don't want to go there. We can go round and round that traffic circle when we speak out what we feel inside, or we can pray with praise the promises of God. We are giving it to him and showing his love to other people. And when we do so, we get to live a life, abandoned love, surrendered before the ought of God, experiencing his rich, abundant life, continual protection, and complete satisfaction. That is a promise in Proverbs 19:23. Let's do that, church. Yes? Okay, awesome. We're done.
This is a really cool opportunity to be able to speak in front of everyone here. This is really, really cool. And so I just kind of want to start us off with a little fun fact. I am not from Canada. So I am from the Philippines. And so I want to share actually a quick story and how I got to like the Philippines and like what my first experience of Canada is, because I know some of you guys are probably already born here, so you already know. And so a little cool thing about me is like I remember moving to Canada at 11 years old. And just like moving to a whole new country is very, very, very big change for some kid for the first time. It's like you go from a plus 32 country into a negative 27 because you moved, because your parents decided to move at the month of February. And so thank you so much for that. And so it was really cool. And so can I just say, it took a lot of time to just adjust at first because it was tough. And so as we speak about emotions, for a kid who's 11 years old here in Canada for the first time, there was a lot of emotions happening. I was like, what is this white stuff falling from the sky? What is this feeling of chill and coldness? And like, for the first time, I enjoyed the first 2 days of my experience with Canada. Snow was great, but after 2 days, I was just done with it. I was like, I was ready to go home. I was like, my heart longed for what once was, and I wanted to go back. I was like, man, I miss the Philippines. This is all so new, and I'm not used to it. And oftentimes, we get stuck in that mindset. We get stuck in our feelings. And so when I moved here, I moved to a school, and everybody was incredible. People were accepting. People were welcoming. And people were just incredible in general. But because my heart longed for home, and I wanted to be back there because I wanted to find happiness again, I longed for it. My heart longed for it. And so for the longest time, I wanted to go back. And I was scared to adjust for a few weeks. I was scared to adjust because I don't want to get used to this. And so what I didn't realize is all these awesome and welcoming people were here, and I was just still in my feelings. Oftentimes when we get stuck in our emotions, we don't actually see the blessings God has put around us. So when I asked God, it's like, why did you put me in here? He said, I am here to grow you, because there's people here who's going to challenge you, convict you, and who's going to be able to grow you into the person I want you to be. So don't get stuck in your heart because you're cutting yourself short of the joy that I've set for you. And so I wonder how many of us here are still led by our hearts, and we became what our hearts longed for. Isn't that a crazy question to ask ourselves? Because we live in a culture that says, follow your heart. Do only what your heart tells you to do. And I think it is a very broken culture that we live in, because one of the things that I realized is a life led by emotion is a life that you don't have any authority over. And that is something that I learned over and over in time, because again, a life led by emotion is a life you have no authority over. Because your emotions are oftentimes the expression of your heart, but is not the truth of the spirit. It is never the truth of the spirit. And we live in a culture that is like the 11 years old me here in Canada for the first time. I remember I was like, I want to go back to the Philippines. I'm going to go find a plane to the Philippines. And I'm like, how are you going to do that in negative 27 with this much snow? Are you trying to freeze? And there's some of us who's trying to walk in that snow in this life right now, who's trying to find and follow our emotions, follow our heart. But in Jeremiah 17:9, it says, the heart is most devious and incurably sick. Who can understand it? But why do we live in a culture that insists that we follow our hearts? Why do we insist in following our hearts? Because the moment you allow your emotions control who you are, is the moment you lose authority of who you actually are that God has set for you. And so when Jeremiah 17:9, it says again, the heart is the most devious and incredibly sick, who can understand it? And I just want to say, you can't understand it. I can't understand it. Your parents can't understand it. Your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your husband, your wife, and your children definitely can't understand you. And it's a really good thought, because like, why do we insist on following it? Because it sounds good. Is that why? It sounds very noble. It sounds real. But how can we follow something we don't even understand? How can we follow something that what our hearts tell us when we don't even know what it is? How can we be our feelings when we don't even know what it is? Because I didn't know when I first came to Canada. I was like, I don't know any of this. And so I'm just going to follow my heart. And that led me to alienating myself from the people around me who wanted to love me. I alienated myself, and I became the quiet kid in class because I didn't know the blessings that God has set in front of me. And so this is why so many people in this culture are so confused about who they are. It's because they never knew how to follow God instead of following their hearts. They never knew how to question their feelings instead of following it. And this is what our culture says. The world says follow your heart when God says follow me. The world says follow, it's right to feel that way and act on it when God says it's right to feel that way, but question it. And he says that ask why, because the world also says own up to your feelings, but God says take responsibility of it, but don't own it. You don't have to take ownership of everything that's going in your heart. Instead, take ownership of who I am in you. Take ownership of my identity in you. Take ownership of my patience, my love, my mercy, my grace, and everything that I have set for you. Because when God says that I am in you, and when you accept his identity for you, you will no longer fall for who you are not. And so I think that is such a good thing. Because God's goal is always to make us realize that I have made you a new creation, not this washed up old self of you who wants to follow your heart. It's not. We are called to be followers of God, not followers of our heart. Because when we choose to allow Jesus to work in our hearts and own our hearts, then that's when we become the authentic you. Oftentimes people look for their identity in the world when all of a sudden all they need to realize is look for their identity in God. So, and I think it's just a really, really cool, because through Jesus, God has given us the authority to live out who he is to the world. We're meant to reflect the qualities of God and not us. Because who here knows that we fall short of the glory of God? And who here knows that we've disappointed people? We've disappointed people. We cannot make decisions based on emotions because we have no authority over it. And so again, my key thought was a life led by emotions is a life you have no authority over. And I think that's a really cool thought for me, because now I know how to surrender my heart to God. And in the second verse of Jeremiah 17:9, it said, who can understand it? It is I, the one who probes the innermost heart. And he knows everything. And so, yeah, that's my thought. That's really cool.
So my name is Sharina. If I haven't got a chance to meet you yet, I look forward to meeting you. My very first question for everybody in here today is, who remember what report card day was like? I remember it. I remember rushing off to school, being super excited for the end of the day to get an envelope that's sealed that you get to run home and give to your mom and dad, and they would open it, and it would tell you how good or bad you were doing. Now, I don't know about you, but I would just go and give it to my dad and wait. I would stand there and just wait for praise. Not typically. Okay, so do you know that we actually have a personal report card for where our hearts are with God? We like to refer to this sometimes as an emotional progress report. Strong emotions, especially all of our negative ones like anger and frustration, are actually a really good indication of what is going on in here. So we always have to always ask ourselves, are these emotions mine for me to express in whatever way I want to, or were they meant for something else, something bigger? Are we honoring God with the emotions and their expression, or is something hijacking your emotional progress report? We kind of live in a world today where we are encouraged to act on our emotions in an outwardly way as we please. It's basically pop culture. So an example, social media. If you don't like the service you received at the restaurant yesterday night, you're probably going to pop onto your local rant and rave page and absolutely tear that establishment and or person apart, regardless of what happened to them that morning. Romans 12:2 says to us, do not allow the world to mold you in its image. Instead, be transformed from the inside out by renewing your mind. We want to be true to ourselves nowadays. Fair enough. But what we really need to be focusing on is being true to his word and allowing him to grow us through our emotions. God needs us to set our hearts in a spiritually healthy direction to bring his good news to the people. So you know that a lot of you are probably saying, what's the purpose of my emotions if I don't get to choose how to express them? Think about it this way. Your emotions are catalysts. So in science, catalysts are substances used to speed up a reaction, but they're actually not used up along the way. So if we're using our emotions in a personal way, we're likely to feel tired, exhausted, and worn out. But when we decide to use them for God's purpose, we're going to feel energized and rejuvenated. I'm going to clarify that all negative emotions are not sinful. It's okay to feel them, especially if they're going to be directed at the right things. So anger, if you see a vulnerable person being treated poorly, you feel angry because you see an injustice happening. That is okay. Anger is not okay when you're mistreating people with your expression of it. So, an example of this. I have teenagers, two of them. This is absolutely one of the most emotional times in a parent's life. Now, one of them is a boy who enjoys sloughing around on my living room floor when there's a really full garbage in the corner. I'm angry. Now, typically what I would want to do is yell, call him lazy, maybe give him a cuff upside the head, and tell him to straighten out. And I'm not perfect. I have, and probably still will on one or more occasions, do one or more of the above. But here's what happens when I do that to him. I break him down. I use my frustration and my negative emotions in that moment to take what was absolutely a moment to teach him about life and working hard, and I've ruined it, absolutely destroyed. Sin itself does soak into our emotions if they're self-driven. We need to do as Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence. So what does that mean? It means creating A-plus heart habits, asking God to guide our emotions and their expression to honor His word, not our own, and asking Him to help us use these emotions, including the negative ones, to help heal what is a broken world. We have three ways to do this. Number one, use the Bible as it was intended. It is an instruction manual for life, not entertainment reading. Psalm 34:14 spells it out. It says, turn away from evil and do good. Congratulate someone else's success, even if you wish it was your own. Don't criticize, compliment. Essentially, what I'm saying is in a moment of strong negative emotions, do the opposite of what your sinful nature is telling you to do. Do what Christ would have done. Number two, shut your mouth. I'm preaching to myself here, I really am. But I'm not actually the one telling you to shut your mouth. Proverbs is the most practical book in the Bible, says a fool vents all of his feelings. A wise man holds them back. So yeah, we all want to say something, but if we feel a negative emotion, shh. Because we're going to see it again. Proverbs 15:8. A hot-tempered person stirs up trouble, but the one with patience settles a fight. Words have power. When you mix them with negative emotions, you're going to give yourself a time bomb waiting to go off. You are going to destroy things. The good news that we're supposed to bring to people is not meant to be cause destruction. It's meant to renew and build up. And number three, pray. Pray for not yourself, pray for and with others. This is not a permission statement to get on your knees and pray, oh God, let Bob stop hurting my feelings. You need to pray for Bob. There is something in Bob's life that is causing him to do bad things to you. Matthew 5:44, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. We hear it again, James 5:16, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. So, what's that? That person hurt me, and I have to pray for them? Absolutely. Pray for their healing. Pray for their peace. Pray for their circumstances. Pray so that things around them suddenly start to change, and they open their eyes, and they say, God, is that you? You are going to be healed in this as well. Just thing of Mike go up in the back. At the end of the day, feeling emotions is okay. God has given us hearts and minds to feel them with. The key to achieving this honor roll status and the management of our emotional expressions, it has to happen in a God-honoring way. It has to spread His word, His message, His love, and His grace. Absolutely not your own.
It's easy sometimes to get caught in negative emotion. And you know what's interesting is it's, you know, the fruit of the Spirit has so much to do with peace from emotion. So the fruit of the Spirit brings, you know, the result of us allowing
the Spirit of God to work in us is love and joy and peace and patience. These are all things that relate to our emotions, aren't they? Let's stand up, and I want to just close off this section in prayer, and I want to pray specifically, you know, that maybe you're in a challenging situation or you're in a challenging circumstance. And I can tell you, you say, well, what does God want for me? And I can tell you with absolute confidence, God wants peace for you. He wants patience for you. He wants hope for you. He wants you to experience joy. He wants you to experience His life. And so often, you know, we get locked into that traffic circle of that negativity, and sometimes we just need to let the Holy Spirit lead us out of it. We just need to let you know, for lack of a better phrase, let Jesus give us the directions and take the wheel and take us to a different place. And if we can just close our eyes, I want to pray here today. And Father, I pray for all of us, but I pray specifically today for those that are in challenging times emotionally, challenging times that are challenging them emotionally. And we just pray that you would bring your guidance, you would, by your Holy Spirit, that you would just bring new direction and new life to our lives. And if you're bold enough, you can just pray with me. Just say, Jesus, I give you permission to direct my life. Would you lead me to a better place? Would you fill me with the life of your Spirit so that I can experience your peace and I can experience your hope and I can experience your joy? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
We hope today's message encouraged you. If you want to take your next step in saying yes to Jesus, you can always contact us at cty.lc or fill out the Next Step section on the City Life app. It's an honor as a church to play just a small part in what God is doing in your life. We look forward to seeing you soon here at City Life.